Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast and an update from the previous episode you may have listened to when we tried to debate how many pigs in blankets were correct for a serving on Christmas Day for the big meal.
Yeah, an update?
An update.
Okay. Because I felt like you were sticking to your guns by the end of the show a little
I've
bit.
Caved. I've caved. Okay. I'm spineless.
Do you know what this is? This is not you like, oh no, I need to make sure everyone's all right. You're worried about people taking it off your plate, which is the shakedown from what happened on the show. It's like, it's going to come off your plate if you're the host.
Now, for the 10 people eating for the big meal, I've gone from 40 to 70 pigs in blankets.
Okay, so we're looking at a 7 per head type scenario.
Correct, yes.
And where are... You say you've sorted out.
Yes.
Where are they?
Now, they are in the fridge in the galley that we can see just down towards the end of the studio here. So they're in the fridge at work. I've bought them today. There is the downside. Ooh. Because yesterday I bought a block of cheese and put it in the fridge here at work to take home, because I knew we were having jacket potatoes yesterday evening.
Okay.
I forgot to take the block of cheese back. Some very, very dry jacket potatoes yesterday night.
Wow, so you're going to be transporting tonight after this show a block of cheese and another 10 pigs in blankets.
Yeah.
Let's hope we don't break down.
Yeah. And as well, look at this.
Oh, he's gone off his seat.
Yeah, I picked up 3 metres worth of turkey foil.
Have you been kicked out of the house? What's going on? Are you living out your bag?
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Here's a big festive question for everyone to kick off the show this evening. Right, the question is this. How does Santa get in the house? My 7-year-old asked me when we were in the car earlier on today, and I didn't know how to answer because we've got a chimney, but obviously it's blocked up with a great big wood-burning stove, big metal wood-burning stove, so you ain't getting in down there. But as a parent, every year I've seen the magic happen. I've come downstairs in the morning in my PJs with the kids. The presents are there. Santa's even had time for a glass of whiskey, put most of it away, actually, and 2/3 of a biscuit. But I don't know how he gets in. How on earth does Santa get in the house?
You see, I've always trusted the magic. Same experience as you. It always happens.
He always delivers.
Always goes. I guess every house is different. Every house's magic is different. For me, I've had a bit of a revelation in the last week or so when we've had the loft done, and when I've been up in the loft for the first time since we've moved into the house, because same as you, chimney's sealed off at the bottom, but I've gone in the loft and there's a kink in it and there's a little crack. So I assume what's been happening all these years, for our house, he's come into the chimney top of the house and then through the loft, because there's a little hole in the chimney on the top.
You see, it's good that you've got the detail there. I appreciate that. Because what I don't want over the next half an hour or so is for people to just say magic. Because magic's not going to wash. I've got to go back to my 7-year-old at some point later on, maybe tomorrow or whatever, and give her an answer. She's waiting on an answer. Magic's not going to cut the mustard.
Well, you might need to check your house, but for us, kink in the chimney.
Lady Vet says on social media, her mum used to tell us that he came through the floor vents. That sounds a bit weird, to be honest with you, coming up through the floor vents.
It does.
But everyone's got a different situation, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be the loft for you, floor vents, something else. So Genuine question, bit of advice, canvassing for opinion. How does Santa get in the house?
Ree here says that in our house, he gets in through the keyhole in the door with his magic.
Really?
Yes.
Now that is magic.
I'm imagining they've got one of those like really old keyholes with like the, you know, the really big chunky lock. So yeah. You've got to give him a chance.
You could at least get your head through there, couldn't
yes.
you? Do you know what I mean? Dan says, I heard someone say a couple of days ago he can deflate his body and slide under the door. There's no end to what this fella can do.
Wow.
Pret says, Santa knows the garage code. We have an exterior service door with a keypad. Santa knows the code.
So resourceful. I mean, we all know the chimney is route one, but to be able to do that's incredible. That is the magic, isn't it?
Well, if I was Santa, I'd be annoyed that the PR, that everyone just thinks it's chimney-based entry.
Yeah.
He's got more variation than that, hasn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Em in Pembrokeshire says that her mum and dad explained to her that Santa has a master key. That is able to open every door in the world.
Well, like, what do they call it? Did you say a radar?
The radar key. Yeah, you've got the radar key that opens the accessible toilets in public places. It's kind of like a Santa radar key.
Maybe it's attached to a wooden spoon,
they
have at Costa Coffee.
Yes, could be, yes.
Deacon says a suitable modern explanation would be that he uses quantum tunnelling to get through solid walls.
Oh, some proper science there.
Your wife, Natalie, Richie, messaged me on Instagram earlier on, because I put this on Instagram. She said, I need to watch a movie called The Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently in that movie, which I've never seen before, he comes through the radiator.
Oh, wow.
He comes through the radiator. There's no end to this guy's talent.
All the more important to make sure the radiators are bled.
Well, that's it. Get them bled, get Santa in.
The Santa Claus sounds like a documentary. You must watch it tonight. Graham, what intel do you have?
Well, I think Santa's a morph. Like the morph in Terminator 2, but a good morph.
I thought you meant morph from Take Heart for a second there, and that's definitely not the right type of morph.
No, not quite. And I think he turns into Mercury and comes down the chimney. That's if the fire's not going.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, he comes in under the door and then reassembles himself into the big, fat, jolly gentleman we all know and love.
Hey, it's that kind of works.
It's incredible science.
That's magic, as far as that's concerned. There is an issue, though, with the...
With the gifts.
Yeah.
Yes, I presume they sort of morph as well.
I would imagine when they're in the presence of Santa, they have the ability to morph.
Morphs and morphs.
Yes. I think that must be the case. And then he comes out.
Well, Graham, that's an incredible insight as to what happens on whilst everyone's asleep on Christmas Eve night.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Merry Christmas.
And to you, Graham.
And to you, ma'am.
And I'll leave you with that thought.
Angel actually says Santa creates a chimney with his magic, uses the chimney, it disappears after he leaves.
Wow.
So it's just like a functional portal type situation going on there. And Ghost says, my parents would tell me they just leave the door unlocked and make sure, allow him to just come in. He must have locked up after himself when he was leaving.
Were the last two messages from people called Angel and Ghost?
They're our listeners.
Wow.
That's some of the people we've got listening into this right now. There's been some great stuff coming in.
I really hope Thea's listening to the show.
I have to write these all down and go and explain
to
her.
Well, you're going to have to. The resourcefulness is quite incredible. As this text here says, John in Somerset, if there's no chimney access, Santa can team up with the local fairies.
Oh, aye.
Who fly through keyholes and gaps in windows and then let him in.
Again, we're just speculating. We don't know whether this happens, but that's pretty incredible if it does. And what a great example of teamwork.
Exactly.
In this modern era. Reese in Neath says, there's an elf hidden in every jar of cranberry. They let him in. I don't know what's going on there. I don't think that's the case. Fenn says Santa gets into the house through the solar panel teleporter. That's why people have got that stuff on the roof.
Yes, yes, yes. Paul says Santa is keeping up with the times. In some houses, he actually uses Deliveroo for those without chimneys.
That would sort things out, wouldn't it?
It would do, yeah.
Get him knocking at the door. And then Robin Cornwall says it's Marvel's multiverse that allows him entry. Listen to this. In one of the realities, there's a full-size chimney. He slips into that reality, slides down the chimney, switches back, leaves the presents, then either reverses the process or, for convenience, heads out the front door and has the reindeer pick him up out front. And since he moves in the time between seconds, no one sees him.
More plausible than the cranberry.
It's the best one so far.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
The soundtrack to your Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to Home Time here with Bush and Ritchie.
And what a Tuesday morning it was for me at home. I discovered a problem that is pertinent to you and me, Bush. Both of us are electric car drivers, and I discovered for the first time a massive problem. A massive problem that I'd never thought about.
Now, I'm trying to work out what this is. Is it the software update that I pressed the button for in Clifton in Bristol that disabled the car for 5 hours?
Could be a problem, but it's not that.
It's not that, okay. Is it the fact that it doesn't make any noise and it kind of scares people sometimes?
Sometimes can be a problem, but it's not that.
Well, I mean, you did your due diligence.
Correct.
Getting the car. I just followed onto your coattails. Is that the word? and used the due diligence. It's like buying a house that someone else has done a plan for a conservatory.
Exactly.
For.
Richie's checked this out. It's going to be fine.
It's good enough for me.
Stop me when you think you know what the problem is. So last night I picked up my son and his girlfriend from Luton Airport, 10:30, had a lovely few days away in Iceland, very jealous of them. They stayed overnight and they got up to drive home this morning. He drives a clapped out Renault Clio.
Okay.
Super clapped out. When he went to get in it this morning, wouldn't start, flat battery.
Oh dear.
What can't you do with an electric car?
I mean, I'm thinking maybe you can't do the old plugs thing.
Exactly.
What's it called? I don't know what it is.
You can't jump start a car. And as a dad, if your son has got a flat battery, if a daughter's got a flat battery, you want to go, don't worry, I've got this. We'll jump start it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that.
I have never jump started a car in my entire life. This may surprise you. I don't even know what to do. Where'd you put those things? I probably put them on, like, I don't know.
So I thought to myself, oh, right, OK, I'll call my brother-in-law. He'll come around with some jump leads. And then I'm halfway through calling him and thinking, no, he's got an electric car as well. Did not know what I was going to do.
It's so weird you say this, though, because I was driving around with my seven-year-old today and she was asking me about the gear sticks in cars and stuff like that. And she was making a very good point that, like, she doesn't see them very often in cars because we've got an electric car. And I'm thinking gear sticks are going to be probably phased out in 5-6 years.
All right, they'll be gone.
Be gone, won't
they? There'll be a gear stick museum.
Well, this is it. I think the whole jump start thing will be... I'd like to go to a gear stick museum. But the jump start thing will be like something that you see on a cave painting on a wall.
Speaking of cave paintings on a wall, I discovered quite how unfit I am because the only solution was to push said Clio up the close and try and bump start it. So there's the scene of me and my brother-in-law panting our way up the close trying to bump start this Clio, which we did, by the way. Oh my God, my lungs just like...
Pushing Clio up the close sounds like a Carry-On movie, doesn't it?
It solved the problem of what to get Charlie for Christmas, though. It's the most unexciting present he's ever had. He's getting a new battery. Some good news, the stricken Renault Clio, it's made it all the way from Hertfordshire down to the south coast. Charlie solving the problem of the flat battery by stopping at Fleet Services and leaving the engine running with his girlfriend in the car.
Wow, what a time to be alive. What a ride.
That's my boy.
How were you tracking him? How did you know?
The old find a friend on the iPhone.
I worry about you. You've got a lot of tracking stuff going on at the moment. Do you know what I mean? You've got a Ring doorbell. You can see people entering.
Yes.
You control the temperature in the house.
I do. I've got a lot of tracking stuff going on, but I still can't jumpstart a car because of the electric vehicle.
Here's the thing, right? And we've got a Lecky car, and I don't understand it. I just get in it and drive it. There's got to be a massive battery in there. It's 95% battery, that thing, isn't it?
Like, yes.
Something this. You can get hold of some leverage or something and plug something in. Surely.
It's an iPad with wheels,
it
in
is.
Effect. But whether that's going to be able to jumpstart an old Clio, I'm not sure. Some advice. From Matt. What can be done, Matt?
Yes, so there is a device called a jump start pack or a power brick, depending on who's marketing it, and it's basically a lithium battery that's comes in various sizes, and it gives a one-off oomph to start a dead car. So it's not as powerful as a normal size car battery, but if you just need a one shot to start your car, then it works, and you can get anything from a smartphone-sized one to start a normal car up to something the size of a house brick to starting big pickup trucks and whatnot.
So, but like, obviously, Richie's got an electric car and his lad has got a... What was the car?
A rather old Clio.
Clio, so would that mean someone in an electric car would carry one of these rounds as like a Good Samaritan kit, purely for using on someone else in a petrol car that's is clapped out?
You could do, I guess, yes, because as you've worked out, the problem with electric cars is that they're all battery, but it's completely the wrong sort of battery for jump starting. But I keep a power brick in each of my cars not because I tend to use them myself, my own cars, but in case I do come across something in need something's died and needs moving out of the way.
Matt loves to drive around and give people a one-off oomph.
He really does. That's the spirit of Christmas there for Matt.
It is.
That's a very nice thing that you're doing there, Sunshine.
Well, it's nice to help when you can.
Could have done with you earlier, Matt. I wouldn't have had to push then.
Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
We want to do a little bit of an experiment on this show. We want to do a thing that we call a panto audit. One of the best things about the pantomime season during the festive season is what kind of celebrities or famous faces you end up having in your local area for your panto. So tell us where you are and what famous people are in your local panto, and we'll add it to our huge virtual map.
I'll start us off. My local panto is in Hertford, county town of Hertfordshire. This year, it is Beauty and the Beast.
Nice, a classic.
Yeah. So you've got a classic there. So info that you need, the stars. I know you're a RuPaul's Drag Race fan.
Love it.
Not necessarily a show that I watch. Finalist and musical theatre sensation Davina DeCampo.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Britain's Got Talent's Mama G.
I think I remember Mama G. What's the one, the rapper, the girl that was like an estate agent but also a rapper? She was dressed as like a 1990s.
I think that is Mama G.
Is that Mama G?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. Anyway, this is why we're going to do the research.
This is why we've got to do the audit, isn't it? I'm imagining, with all disrespect to... disrespect.
There's a Freudian slip.
All respect due to Davina and Mama. I'm imagining Southend's might be a little bit better.
It's got a good tradition, my local panto. I don't know exactly who's in it. I know that Ryland's in it, and he's obviously good value for money.
Well, there you go.
More clarifications next, but tell us where you are and who's on in your local panto for our panto audit. If you've ever been to the Churchill Rooms and the Imperial War Museum, they show where people were pushing things around a map. That's what we're doing at the moment, giant map of the United Kingdom. So we're going to be logging the coordinates on which celebs are involved. Just to clarify, because the question was asked earlier on, who's in my local panto in Southend? It's, of course, Rylan and Ross King.
Ross King, wow.
In Cinderella. So that's quite a high level. I think Southend's got good form.
Now, Swindon, another place back in the day, the West Country, your kind of area.
Oh, are you?
Jenny Ryan in Sleeping Beauty from The Chase, playing Maleficent.
We've had Jenny Ryan on one of our podcasts before, and she's absolutely brilliant. Oh. And she's an amazing singer.
There you go.
Voice of an angel.
Get down to Sleeping Beauty in Swindon.
Someone here says, Adrian from near St Albans says, we have Phil Mitchell from EastEnders this year. St Albans usually does have some heavy hitters. In the past, we've had the Chuckle Brothers and a very young Bradley Walsh.
Oh, wow.
Tradition.
Joe, Jazz, Ethan and Sophie are on their way home from the Horsham Panto at Robin Hood. They said it was fab. Gina Murray was baddest baddie and was brilliant as the Sheriff.
Wow, there's a lot to take in that one message.
Gina Murray, you may know her from her work in Doctors.
Oh, yeah. Martin's been on. He has travelled 80 miles for the panto. The doors open in 5 minutes. So he sent us a photo.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He sat there as we speak for this thing about to start. And it is Scott Mills.
Yes.
Radio legend Scott Mills. And Nick told me the name Lavoie from RuPaul's Drag Race.
There you go.
It's a learning process for all of us.
That's why we're doing it.
I Am Groot says, Wimbledon, we've got diversity here. Really funny show, some great dance routines.
Wow.
Could be an early leader. We've had some good stuff so far. I feel like we're about to hit the big boys now. Mm. Okay, some real good ones coming in. Janine Saunders has sent us a message. She says, stellar lineup for Birmingham this year.
All right.
She's going to be there on January the 4th. It features Gok Wan.
Boom.
Matt Slack. Faye Tozer. Matt Cardle. And special guest star, Christopher Biggins. That's pretty good.
It's a big lineup. I must admit, Matt Slack didn't ring a bell. I've Googled, and Matt Slack is considered to be the UK's number one pantomime comedian.
If I worked with him in the office, I'd call him Slack Matt.
Because he's not working the rest of the year.
Hey, come on, slack, Matt. He's the button. He must be buttons.
Must be. That's an amazing lineup.
Well done. What about that? Hey, Birmingham.
Danny in Guildford has been up the road to Woking to see Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now, this has also been seen by our producer, Nick.
Who loves a pantomime, doesn't he?
He loves it.
He really does.
He gave this 10 out of 10, quote unquote, my cheeks hurt from laughing. Leslie Joseph, obviously Dorian, Birds of a Feather.
Yeah.
And Rob Rinder.
Oh, Judge Rinder.
Yeah, Judge Rinder. Yeah.
He's really good as well.
He is very good, yeah.
That's a great 10 out of 10 then.
Certainly is.
It's not too late to get your pantomime in for our Panto audit and get it added to the map.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
There you go, there's the show. And man, do we ever need to return to what happened at the beginning. I don't feel like we fully did justice to the curveball that you pulled out your bag at the tail end of that intro.
Yeah.
Is the, 3 foot long turkey foil thing that you've got sticking out your bag?
I'm wondering if I've been scammed, actually. So it's 3 metres long by 500 millimetres.
Can't be three metres long.
That's what it says. It's
when you play it out. Right, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
It's calling it turkey foil, but it's basically just like tin foil, isn't it?
Foil's foil, isn't it?
Foil's foil.
I think they've seen you coming.
That's annoying.
So if you're, what trip, don't want to give the specifics, but what train do people need to keep an eye out for you? The Ghost of Christmas Pass.
Finsbury Park, back up to Hartford tonight. Yeah, me with me. Oh, also, I've got someone else in my bag.
This just keeps getting more and more.
That's even more embarrassing. Yesterday, I suddenly got very paranoid that I'd not stocked right for Christmas.
Well, it seems like you've taken on the advice of the listeners even more so than I thought you would do or have done. Oh, my words. I'm worried that he's got a bag of potatoes in there as well.
Kilos worth.
If something bad happens to you, I just worry for what it will look like when they go through. Because you've got a can of deodorant in there as well. I can see it from here. It's what that looks like when they go through your bag.
Turkey foil, everyone thinking that's just tin foil, he's been scammed. A kilo of British white potatoes.
Do you remind me of?
30 pigs in blankets and a block of mild cheddar.
It's like John Candy in Planes, Trains and Automobiles. He's just trying to get home for Thanksgiving.
Exactly.